Good morning, fellow Gooners, and welcome to a totally Arsenal podcast. I'm your host, Mornay.
And I'm Aiden. It's been an unfortunate 22 unbeaten run coming to an end after a very flat performance against Southampton.
Yeah, it was really disappointing. You know, I was actually expecting a bit more battle, graft in the game, but it was like a first Premier League start for Koscielny. In a way, I thought, somewhat worried about having this sort of game. You know, on paper, it might look now simple, but I just think, look, Southampton are a very physical side, whether Charlie Austin plays or, whatever, because they are a team, they like attacking from the flanks. And look, as we're going to discuss now with the game, I mean, that was going to eventually be our undoing.
I think we took it for granted we were playing Southampton as well. I think even though players say no, they take it game by game, but I think if you're playing a struggling Southampton, you're not going to be at your 100% sharpness because you think that you'll be able to take advantage and beat the hapless Southampton at the moment.
And I mean, when I remember watching the game now, it seems like we again allowed the opponent to overrun us. And, problems that we had already with Danny Ings. I mean, look, he's had a torrid career, especially with a move from Burnley to Liverpool, where he's had, an injury, constantly injured at Liverpool. And then now with this, a second chance now at redemption. You know, he's really stepped up to the plate, especially now this last few games for them. But with regards to the game now again, constantly with the flanks, when they were whipping crosses and that, we were always having problems with it. And now, I was always dreading the thought, because I'm thinking, look, at one point, one of these balls are going to drop right for him. And then it came into the 20th minute, the Matt Target playing, fantastic, because he was always getting those overlapping runs on that flank where Bellerin was playing. And he, almost like a peach of a cross, he whips across onto Danny Ings' head. But I mean, for me, the biggest headache was the fact that, that doubt that was in Koscielny's head, because he did not know whether to clear the ball with his foot or try to header the ball clear. And you could see he was in two minds as the ball came across. And in that time that he, that split decision of doubt, that's when Danny Ings jumped in and headed past Bent Leno.
I think Koscielny showed a bit of, I know a lot of people say maybe ring rust almost, because you could see it was a guy that was off the pace quite badly. I didn't even recognize Koscielny when he was playing, and he was making really silly mistakes, getting caught off guard, and they made Danny Ings look almost like Harry Kane at the moment. He was such a small guy, made out muscled our centre backs, and it also looked like you mentioned, with us slow, starting slow, Southampton almost showed a kind of that same pressing game that Huddersfield did that troubled us at the Emirates.
I mean, then we managed to, somehow get our foot back on the ball again and turn defense into attack somewhat, and then, started really pushing and pressing Southampton back. And then the breakthrough came again for us in the 28th minute when a fantastic cross by Nacho Monreal, also, making his return to the squad. He's met by a stooping header by Mkhitaryan, which he just heads perfectly past McCarthy in the Southampton goal. So we went 1-1, and I'm in my mindset, I was thinking, okay, we're in the game now to somehow, just get a real foothold in the game and, see it out, even if it was not seeing it 1-1 till halftime, something like that, where we can now, build upon that. And then no sooner I'm not thinking down that line in the, 44th minute?
Yeah.
Again, Koscielny error as Nathan Redmond. But I mean, look, Nathan Redmond's always been a, thorn in our side when we've been playing in the size that he was in. And he manages to hit a, perfect cross. And again, Koscielny just ball watches. Lichtsteiner doesn't also give him probably a shout in advance. And Danny Ings jumps in between the two of them. I mean, again, one of the shortest guys there. Out jumps both and headers past Bent Leno again. So we 2-1 now going into half time.
And once again, we concede before half time. It's happened against Bournemouth. And I can't remember the other team, but we very, I think the team's concentration switches off before half time because it's the same thing every time before half time. I don't know. Emre needs to get this sorted out.
Because I mean, one thing also I remember all after the it happened after the first goal, and as we're gonna still now discuss our equalizing goal, there were players in the team telling the rest, like I think Guendouzi was also showing them, calm down now, like
Yeah.
once you're in, just like get concentrate more and not just go attack, attack, attack. And then I mean, we end up with Bellerin being injured on the stroke of half time, having to be subbed in, subbed out, and then Lacazette coming in, which means again it was tweaking the squad, the squad system. 53 minutes, Oriol Romeo gets caught in possession. Ball breaks to Mkhitaryan, who does a bit of fancy footwork and then has a shot at goal. But it kind of looked quite tame with the first deflection, and then I think it takes a second deflection of Vestergaard, which of course sends the keeper the wrong way, and the ball trickles into the net for us. 2-2.
I think we were lucky to actually get that second chance to make it 2-2. Although before that, I think Aubameyang also spurned a golden opportunity, I think, which could have tied the game at that point and then made this 3-2 with Mkhitaryan. I just feel that Aubameyang is missing the easier chances that he should be putting away.
And then in the something like the 70th minute, I believe, we bring on Mesut Ozil for Alex Iwobi. And as I discussed with you, I mean, look, this pod we do is giving our own take and our own opinions. And I mean, I know Mesut Ozil has probably a big fan base with listeners and stuff like that. But I just think that substitution made absolutely no sense. As much as I love Emery, it made zero sense because I thought at that point, you needed a player on the ball. Whether it's, I'm not saying that to be now an attacking mid or stuff like that, but you needed somebody, a midfielder, that can, not only put his foot on the ball and dictate the pace of of play, but also physically add something to the team. And it's almost like everything just started drifting past Ozil within, I think, something like 5 minutes. I think he had a few, safe touches and safe little back passes or side passes, but then after that he just started getting overrun. And I mean, he had absolutely no answer to the likes of Højbjerg. I mean, he was dictating everything, and that Romeo guy was also pressing him so hard. I mean, he did not even have time on the ball. And I mean, you could see he's not somebody that wanted to now, do that little fancy touches and stuff. But that was not gonna work for him, especially in a game like this where you've got the Southampton team under new management, and also, fighting for their life, for their lives. If you think of how they were struggling in the Premier League before.
I would have actually brought on Ramsey personally, and I thought he was going to do that. I honestly thought, just like you said, when he brought Ozil on, I looked kind of bemused because I was thinking, why? This is not the type of game for Ozil. You didn't bring him on against Bournemouth. Why are you going to bring him on against Southampton when it's also a rough and tough game? And he was the reason of that third goal coming to play from Southampton.
Yeah, that's what I was now going to touch on, because in the 85th minute, I think Ozil was trying to also, run almost like in circles with the ball, gets dispossessed. And then, I mean, I watched now the goal, I think, three or four times over again, because I needed to really register what I saw. Because when he loses the ball to that Højbjerg, because look, Southampton were doing a very tight press. When he loses the ball, you see Ozil backing off, which I could not believe. And then Mkhitaryan is taking a few steps away from where the action is. And I'm thinking, why are you doing that? Because, I mean, that is now not, in the way we've been playing, like prior to that in those games before. And then Højbjerg, of course, look, he's not a mug. So, I mean, he ends up playing a perfect through ball, which, dissects our defense. Because, I mean, Shane Long was already running into that pocket of space because our players on the left, because I think Xhaka was also playing in defense. There was also nobody at the left back position, so that ball gets played into that pocket of space, and it's almost like I'm thinking, oh my goodness, because I mean you're already, you're thinking in advance what can happen, and my eyes already started falling to Charlie Austin coming from the outside flank there. And then you could see Shane Long had, I mean, what I couldn't believe was the amount of time he had to actually stop the ball, look up, see where Charlie Austin was, and then he lofts in a, like one of, I mean, it was a gem of a pass. Yeah. And I mean, it goes over the heads of all the defenders. Ben Leno, of course, since he was now already heading outside of his box when the ball broke in midfield, he, when he started backtracking, I could actually notice, look, I'm not saying I'm a renowned goalkeeper, but I mean, I have some sort of expertise in goalkeeping. And when he started backtracking, I knew he did not know where he was because he was trying to put his hand out to get some sort of judgment, like, you know, where he is. And the more he was like backtracking towards his line, he did not know, because by the time I think he got to the 6-yard line, you could see he was already lost. The minute that cross was going to come over, I knew that's it. That will be the goal. Because, I mean, I actually didn't want us to be sucker punch, but then I knew that is where the thing is, gonna, the punch is going to come. Because by the time that ball goes over his head and he's like, you know, he's jumping for the ball, you can see he's not even getting, I think, barely a fingertip he's getting onto the ball.
And yeah, I mean, he missed it badly.
It lands onto Charlie Austin's head, and I mean, he's barely putting power behind it. He's just directing the ball goalward. And that was the end of us there.
I think if he could have even gone, like, you know, back to his line, he could have pulled the save off. But once he committed and misjudged it so badly, it was like basically a tap in. I mean, and to concede three headers as well in the game against Southampton, it was quite shocking, actually.
I mean, for me, it was, as I think I messaged you after the game or a day or so after the game, I mean, it actually felt like a kick to the gut because you're on that run of what was it, 22 games, and you think to yourself, you know, I can handle it if we come unstuck, but I mean, to come unstuck in this sort of fashion, I think that's why I did home by a lot of Arsenal fans, probably.
And it's 3 points dropped. We're 3 points behind. We're off the pace now. Mm. And now another question is going to be asked of Arsenal now. Is this a sign of things to come now? Or is it just a minor blip? It's going to be actually interesting time now to see how the players are going to react to this.
I mean, like, what worried me somewhat was, I mean, I was listening to Gunner Vlog, his video the other day on YouTube. And he was saying something like, you know, has Emery reached the peak, you know, of getting the maximum out of this team? And now we're starting to, you know, almost like we hit the limiter. And now comes that you know, almost like not free fall, but, you know, being rocked back now where we would have, you know, we were going on a high, but we were also not playing fantastic football after the Tottenham game in the league. So it's almost like, we've reached the peak, and now we were almost like scraping against Karabakh. We were scraping against Huddersfield. And now it's like, you know, come unstuck now that the team goes toe-to-toe with us in that physical sense. And you remember I still missed you in the game where I told you, Arsenal could, you know, physically, you know, get the edge over Southampton, say from the hour mark onwards. I don't know if I said it in the podcast. And for me, it's more like Southampton actually got stronger later on in the game.
That actually scared me because I was waiting for Southampton to tie and I'm watching. I'm like, but this team is not, you know, allowing Arsenal any freedom like other teams are. So it's quite worrying. And like we've mentioned, we have been riding the wave, haven't been putting good performance in. And I think it was bound to catch up to us eventually. Albeit, we are missing a lot of defenders, our key defenders. We are missing the Mustafis who've been playing most of the season, Rob Holding. Socrates was missing as well. So I think this defense needs to be sorted out in January or we could struggle quite badly.
You know, Mike, my opinion on the defensive issue is, you know, I would prefer having more players than, you know, make do. Because for me, I still find it somewhat suicidal letting, say, somebody like Chambers go and whatever. Because that is where I think Emery, in a way, something like that. But he, you know, he really thought, okay, this squad for this amount of games can do it. But I think when he allowed people like, say, Chambers to go or, you know, some like even Reece Nelson to go, it's almost like you're cutting some of your options down. We, you know, would have had excess with actually some weekends. You could have, like, say, one or two of the defenders, you know, have their feet up, let him rest, like, for a 7-day period or 5-day period where you actually give him a full rest. Now we're at a stage of the season where these guys are not going to get that sort of respite. So it's almost like play, play, play. And It's not like when you get injured, that's probably when you're going to get a break, or if you have a, you know, a strain or something, then you probably might get a break if you're lucky.
My worry is that Koscielny could be pushed into the red zone quite quickly because there's no other alternative really but to play him. And with the likes of Liverpool coming up soon, they are going to get the run at him. And I'm just worried that he may have a relapse of one of his injuries again.
I mean, my personal take is I would actually let that Zach Medley, you know, get like a few cameo roles. I mean, look, I don't know how the plans are going to be now going into, you know, the coming weeks, and especially with us playing Liverpool, I think on December 29th. So,
Yeah,
you know,
the end of the month.
even if you take look, I don't want to jump too far ahead because in the podcast with regards to the Burnley game, but I'm just trying to think, maybe, you know, give him a 15 or 20-minute cameo against Burnley, say, today or something like that. You know, where he just gets that feel of physicality. Because for me also, that with Koscielny coming back into the side, with that game being so easy against Karabakh and then getting a, like, going from like a simple game to a 100 miles per hour type game, I think that was totally, you know, that took the wind totally out of Koscielny's sails.
What happened to that Greek youngster? He's still injured or something, or that
He's
Mokropane or
recovering.
something.
He's recovering from a thigh slash groin strain. So look, they don't want to push that too much. But I think that he could also even be a savior going to the new year. I mean, maybe we as well. We would have say had brought in two centre backs. We can maybe just bring in one, and then you have Mavropanos then in. But I still think that is where the core. If whatever money that we do have for reinforcements in January. I think that is the way to go. Rather have somebody extra, even bring like two bodies in, like one real senior type of centre back, and maybe an up and coming type centre back to come through. Even if it's to buy one also.
We can all see how important proper centre back is. You see the massive turnaround Liverpool had when they signed Van Dijk last season.
Yeah, we need something more dominant because what boggled the mind somewhat was at one point. Going to the last few games, we've had someone like Granit Xhaka in the central of defense, and then you got actual centre backs playing left and right of him. And you're thinking, why? I mean, you need a solid, you know, a solid defender that can command his area, his defense, playing in that middle part. You can't take somebody that's almost like a makeshift person and put him in there and allow him to, you know, dictate it to the defense.
They could have personally moved Monreal centre back and maybe then pushed Anthony Maitland-Niles left back in the Southampton game, and then instead of using Xhaka in that position.
Because I mean, it's rather a wrap on that because it's actually getting, since we have to still get into more depressing news.
Oh yeah, we got the Spurs game. Unfortunately, I didn't see that game a lot. I think a lot of the Carabao games, they don't really show where on SuperSport or anything like that. So I'm gonna think leave this one up to you just to maybe inform me how the game went, what happened, any action points.
Okay, you know the game. I mean, at the where, you know, I actually witnessed something. I mean, I've been watching football. I've been playing football also for years, and I actually witnessed something quite shocking for a top team. And it almost like it set the tone of the game. The game kicks off, and Aaron Ramsey and Aubameyang are the ones at the centre spot. And Aaron Ramsey passes the ball to Aubameyang, and I do not know if Aubameyang was daydreaming or watching himself on the big screen or something. He stands and he looks like, I mean, also, and the ball gets, the ref blows, Ramsey kicks off, and the ball goes straight to Son. And I mean, Son plays the ball immediately, you know, so that Spurs get position. I'm thinking to myself, is this how the tone is going to go of this game? And, you know, that said, now, for me, with the game, I mean, of course, everybody knows the result, but it also showed Spurs were faster than us, they wanted it more. And I just think we were almost like trying to find our feet, and Spurs never gave us that time to find our feet. And everything was faster. We were faster to attacking headers at our goal. They were faster at defending headers or shots at our goal. They were just, you know, for a team that took a walloping. I mean, it was a walloping they got at the Emirates when they played us in the league. But I mean, they were sharp. I mean, it was actually scary to watch them play. And I was just thinking, my mindset was already going to when we have to face them at White Hart Lane. That's how dominant they were. And I was thinking, geez, this is probably going to be the tone they're going to set when we have to go there next year. And then the goal for that Son scored, it was also a kind of shocker because everybody gets pushed, goes forward. I think it was on one of our attacks. And I mean, the goalie catches the ball. And I'm not, my mindset is thinking, where are our holding mids, Torreira, Guendouzi? Those guys are middle or on the edge of the Tottenham box. And I'm thinking, oh my God. And the ball gets floated right over. At that point where the ball gets floated over to Dele Alli, Socrates slips. And he slips, but he tries taking Dele Alli with him. But of course, Dele Alli shrugs him off, controls the ball, looks up. And since our left flank is also still in the other half, which is Monreal at the time, the ball gets just lofted over everybody. It lands straight at Son's feet. And I mean, he's off. I mean, the minute he had balls at his feet, his head is already going, goalwards. And I mean, I already thought, okay, yes, going to be problems because then he started, since he had another time to pick his spot, he just waited till Cech started coming out, sliding at him, and then he just chipped him. And I thought, okay, deserve, but where were our holding mids? And I mean, this is now the thing that adds to the frustration because I can understand if we get totally out muscled or whatever, but I mean, to concede a goal like that, where you're at home and you're playing with like two holding midfielders and stuff like that, and you conceding a goal like that, then I'm thinking, no, man, that's not right. So that was the one I saw for me. And then also the other problem that we had, we are very wasteful with our chances because
Yeah, I agree with that.
every time there are these games where, like Aubameyang, a car in my head, he gets a shot on target. What does he do? He panics just because he's like, gets distracted somewhat, and he drags the shot wide. I mean, he's not even working the keeper. That is also another thing. If my team loses or whatever, I expect, okay, test that keeper, push him to the max or whatever. Then I can understand. Yes, I can take the defeat like it, but don't do stuff like it where your teammates are trying to, open that path for you, and you end up just, dragging shots or, just and shrugging your shoulders at the miss. Because I was thinking, okay, you missed a chance now, buckle down and, try harder. But I mean, it's not like he's not like becoming so wasteful, and then he's kind of lax on the situation where, he just shrugs shoulders and is like, oh well. And I think that is where Emery needs to also maybe haul him out for a few games, something like that. Because for me, he's just not doing it at the moment. I mean, I know he has a brilliant scoring run in the Premier League for us, but I just think he's too casual with his finishing, man. Sometimes I think, where you have somebody like Lacazette as a natural finisher, he needs one touch whatever and he pops a goal, whether he's gonna walk you or not.
I also think that sorry to go off the game, but I
Yeah.
also think Aubameyang is not showing that same form he did at Dortmund, where he actually did more, add more to his game than just your goals, your tap-ins and stuff like that. Where he literally used to take on defenders, turn him inside out and make things happen, but I don't see that much anymore.
No, you see, my take on it is, I think he knows, like, since he's now that marquee signing that we have, it's not like he's just going to be dropped at, whatever. But I just think, since Emery is somebody, he don't care about reputation, whatever. I think he'll pull you if he don't see anything positive coming from him. And I think he needs maybe a wake-up call like that, because he's not really being threatened. Because look, with Welbeck now out injured, and we've just got Eddie Nketiah as a backup to Lacazette and him, I think that is where he takes advantage of that situation of being another, main man. That's, I think, when we do bring in a forward, I think it has to be somebody also with somewhat of a name that can also depose him of that spot if need be. And I think then you'll probably see, Aubameyang going full throttle again to, win his place back. But I think for now, that is in a way almost like the danger line for us, where he now knows, okay, I'm guaranteed a start now, because there's not much of an option. It's not like they're going to say, oh yeah, and Eddie and Ketia, you're going to lead the line against Burnley, or you're going to lead the line against Liverpool, stuff like this. It's not going to happen. So that is where I think, get Lacazette in, and I mean, maybe use January to get, even if it's somebody coming in on a loan type of thing, or a loan deal, get something like that in. Because we do need that extra option, because I think that is where we also now see what we miss with Welbeck.
Yeah, he actually played a pivotal part, even though it was off the bench or in those odd games here and there. He actually added something, that extra burst of pace, and like you said, also made Aubameyang look over his shoulder for a spot in the team.
Then with regards to the game again, Mkhitaryan had to be subbed because I mean he got tackled quite heavily by Lucas Moura, and then Koscielny came on, and I was thinking, oh, goodness, now we down that path again. And we tried to come back a bit stronger second half because I mean it was like a period I think from the 48th minute on to about the 50th. We were trying to press and press and press. But I mean, look, Spurs were holding us at bay at all costs. So, I mean, like, with all our, attacking prowess, we still look vulnerable. Because, I mean, as the commentator was saying, we're going forward and whatever. But, they were just saying, it takes one ball, one long ball or whatever. And then we again outnumbered. And well, this is what frustrates me. With Emery sometimes as a coach. I mean, you can see the thing playing out, and then I mean, we are the, what they are taught in training, like, somebody hold a layback for that any counters, because it's like we don't do that. It's like the holding. That's where that gripe that I told you the other day that I'm having slowly Sunday have with Torreira, because look, he's a fantastic player. Don't get me wrong, but I just think. In games like this, especially, you cannot go that. Look, unless you got Tottenham on the ropes, then fine, the holding mid can push up forward. But if you're not sure of what to expect of Tottenham, because for me, even that should have been the marker going into that first half of the Carabao Cup game against Spurs now. When they started saying, look, we're going to get overrun, then sit back, take this thing out of the game. But it's like, it was like a rush of blood to the head for people like Guendouzi and Torreira, because they were so in advanced roles. And I'm thinking, why? Because I mean, Tottenham were playing with guys just hanging back. They were not, like Sissoko would like just come now and then venture over into our half. But other than that, they would just sit in their half and then try to break up or frustrate us with the ball. Then back, with regards to the game again, Harry Kane gets subbed in on the 58th minute, and then it didn't take him even long to make an impact on the game. A minute later. Ball comes over again. Ball watching by, I think it was Granit Xhaka. It just shows that he is not cut out to be a centre back. He just watches the ball, and I mean, when the ball comes down, because Harry Kane still brings the ball down with his chest, and in that moment, that Koscielny is trying to make up numbers, sprinting back again. I do not know why he's so far forward, because it's not like we were overrunning the game in a way. So, of course, Koscielny starts tracking back. But with Harry Kane lofting the ball over, he does not know that Dele Alli is actually, busting a gut and sprinting forwards. And I thought to myself, oh, my God, you're in another era. And, of course, Koscielny just watches the ball looping over him. Ball comes to Dele Alli. And, I mean, then it was already one against one with the keeper because there was no way the defender on the right flank was going to cover, and there was also no way Koscielny with his dodgy Achilles is going to catch up. But I mean, Dele Alli then, of course, sets himself perfectly up, which most top midfielders do, or goal-scoring midfielders, and he just chipped Peter Cech. I mean, Peter Cech was already sprinting full speed towards him, and I mean, he just timed his run, of course, and he just waited till Cech did somewhat of a drop, and then he lofted the ball over him, and that was it, 2-0. Game, set, and match.
It's been a very quite a negative week, but it's just a thing Andrew mentioned. I know a lot of negative, but I think the one positive is that if you had told us after the first two games of the season that we would have gone 22 unbeaten, I think a lot of Arsenal fans would have put your hand to take that. So I know it's a bad time at the moment, bad patch, but I think if we can, put another run together from two losses again, can maybe, put us in a good stead for that top four chase.
Look, I'm not as frustrating as it is and as annoyed it made me. I'm not throwing really in the towel with the squad or anything like that. Don't get me wrong. But I just think a bit more discipline in the team and a bit more ruthlessness up front is
yes,
good.
Definitely. That
that
needs
two,
to be
that
sorted out.
2 points could be key going into the new year. Even that there's a Liverpool game. But look, Liverpool game is a game you're going to probably have to weather also a storm for at Anfield especially. But I just think, because for me, you know, what frustrated me somewhat watching these training videos, there's a lot of, I mean, look, don't get me wrong, have fun and whatever under new management and stuff like that. But for me, it's like there's a lot of goofing around. There's too much of that Rondo stuff that they're doing, which you can only do for so much. But I mean, training also, there's other factors to it, not just doing Rondos till you touch the 20 and then go on, you know, jumping on each other, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, more focus, because, you know, I was watching now a few sessions already where Arsenal's fitness coach is now, that one that Emery brought, he's not doing stuff with him, eh? And I was sort of like, my eyes were not just going on every player, seeing who's doing. I mean, it's a simple observation type of thing, but I was just watching who were doing this stuff. And you know, that people, somebody like Aubameyang and them, were like goofing around. You know, like when they're supposed to do that little jumping jacks or sprinting.
Oh, yeah.
Then he does it like, you know, half-heartedly. And I'm thinking to myself, look, something like this is somebody must actually pull aside and say, look, you're either going to take part normally with training or you don't take part in training. Because fun and games you can have after training, you socialize with your teammates and whatever. But for me, fitness-wise and focus-wise, that is where you need to, you know, focus your game on. Because there's too much of this little, you know, playfulness. I mean, as I said, I don't mind for that camaraderie and stuff like that, but there's also a time and a place for everything. And I think that is where somebody like I think Guendouzi is also like, you know, using Aubameyang as his mentor. So, of course, when Aubameyang is goofing around, he is goofing around. So
and that comes... No, that's already gone,
No, I'm not done. No, that's the point I wanted to make. It's like...
That actually comes into maybe Aubameyang's game, like whether, you know, subconsciously, where you're not taking things seriously all the time. You know, those easy finishes. Sometimes those little things, and people may think that, you know, it's just having fun and training. But if you focus all the time, and when the time comes in the game to do your thing, that is maybe when also you have that lapse, because you're not giving everything in training as well.
You know, that is also a point that I want to make with regard. I mean, I hate doing it, but when you make a comparison to, say, Spurs and Arsenal at the moment, if you take league form, Spurs are a team that will force the issue till the end, whether it's going to be a scuffed goal or, you know, a bundled ball over the end, but they do not give up. I mean, look, that game that they play now, we're playing now the team that last played Spurs in the league, Burnley. And, you know, it took almost like a scruffy effort from Eriksen to win them that game, but Spurs did not give up. They kept on forcing the issue as much as Burnley tried to frustrate. They forced the issue. And I mean, you look at Tottenham's games this season, especially when they come off a bad run or a, you know, bad result, they have always forced the issue and always, just look at the amount of 1-0 wins that Tottenham have had this season. They force games to, you know, to get the result. And I think that is where we are lacking at the moment. We rode our luck for more often than not. But I mean, for me, you should actually have, like when you watch Tottenham play, you know, okay, that goal is going to come. Whereas with us, you don't know, is it going to come or is it going to a frustrating game?
Speaking of Burnley, I know we're playing their next game. And the thing I wanted to bring up with him, Sean Dyche actually changed their formation going against Spurs. So he normally goes like a 4-4-2 or 4-4-1-1. And against Spurs, I just hope Arsenal watch out for this. He went to the 5-4-1 to almost stifle them. And he restricted them to only 3 shots in that game. And they're going to come with that same tactic, I think, with a kind of Huddersfield plan where they're not going to attack. They come to the Emirates for a point.
My point that I wanted to bring up, because look, we now did a wrap now with the Carabao Cup game. So I think with regards to that Burnley game, yes, it's going to be a frustrating game, because look, Daesh is somebody, if he knows, you know, he's coming up against a side that can be creative and then he's going to stifle whatever, you know, creativity you have as a team. So I agree with that pointers that you now brought up, because he will probably go again either 5-4-1 or at times I saw in that when I watched the Tottenham game against Burnley the other day, he also sometimes would switch to, like, you know, when they want to get a bit more adventurous, then he'll maybe just add a a player to the midfield. So it's like a 4-5-1 again. But he keeps on that, you know, flooding, whatever. And then they just revert to like a long ball tactic or stuff like that to, you know, catch out the opponent. So that is where I think we should also be careful, because sometimes we get, you know, very expensive with our football. So we try to widen the game, and that, and that sometimes can also catch us out, you know, because look, they're going to have a runner that, since the defense is not really solid at the moment, that can, you know, just pick up little pockets in the defense of ours.
What we need to be careful of is we might get bullied in the air, you know, set pieces and corners. As they saw, we probably were very vulnerable against Southampton. So I'm just worried that, I think the likes of Ashley Barnes, and then we're still there, but he's always such a handful, always with the teams that we come up against him. So I just hope we don't get out-muscled.
You know, speaking of Ashley Barnes, I mean, that again, not to back to the game of the Burnley-Tottenham thing, he actually had quite a few chances in the game. That I think if he had been more composed, he could have punished Spurs, because that is the thing that worries me again with us. In the time that he gets the ball, like especially that Barnes guy now, you know, people like Alderweireld is like, you know, quick on his toes. And I think sometimes if we don't do that, because I think we sometimes, we either overcommit and give away a stupid foul, or we, you know, just back off, and that's going to cost us. So I just hope, you know, a bit more focus today. And especially because for me, it's annoying the lack of discipline we've been having the last two games, especially because for me, you didn't watch another Carabao Cup game, but I tell you, there's been stupid fouls being given away by us. Like, out of, you know, like, when you're taking all your hard work to get yourself into the opposition area of the box, and then, you know, clipping people in the box or shoving people, like, you know, not even doing it subtly, you know, to get away by the ref. Like, I mean, there was one in that Carabao Cup game where Guendouzi, like, just shoves a player off the ball. And there was one where I'm not sure which centre-back of Spurs it was, you know, sidestepped the ball into the box. And this is now when we were pushing, we were really 2-0 down. And Nacho Monreal just kicks that guy's feet out from under him. And I think, how do you think you're going to get away with this? So someone like physically, we need to, you know, be more focused, because it's like, you can't also, you know, lose the plot completely where, you know, people are just hacking and kicking out at players. I mean, that's not like the Arsenal way of playing.
So we're like a bit of a dilemma now with coming up. Do you start Lacazette and Aubameyang today?
Either way, or I would like to spearhead with Lacazette. Either way, I would like to start with him.
You don't think we should go two up front? Because I know we tried it against, was it Huddersfield, and it didn't work too well because the guys behind him weren't too creative. So I think, like you mentioned, probably Lacazette maybe needs the start, since he hasn't had one actually in a Premier League for a bit.
Look, whether you play like Aubameyang or not, Lacazette at least is going to give you that hold up of the ball, which is Aubameyang never does that. So, you know, that is where that is one of the strength. I think that's also where we do miss a Giroud type player, you know. Whereas Lacazette, he's quite short, but I mean, he's quite strong. But I think sometimes you do need that, you know, tall, lanky center forward just to do that sort of hold up play that can, you know, hold up one or even two people at the same time.
I actually have asked Chelsea, we can't have Giroud back in January, because if you look back at his contributions to the club, it actually was taken for granted, because I know he wasn't, you know, this high profile striker, but he worked out well off the ball, and I'm sure Emery could have used a guy like him for our set pieces, that to defend and to attack.
And I think it stands out even more now that we, you know, like a striker short now. Now you can see, you know, in which department we do lack.
I just hope January, like you mentioned, we go out there and go get shopping for a striker and definitely a centre-back.
Mm. Okay, so I think that's like the end of our podcast for today on the 22nd of December, as we're knocking on Christmas door. I would like to take the time to wish out all our fellow Gooners all over the world a fantastic festive season, and hope you guys enjoy a great Christmas with your family and friends. Bye.
And thanks, guys, for the support.